Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Thursday.
Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studios for Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato alongside. You know the number. You can join us in the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351-800, and that gets you right through there, 800-355-NFL1. All right, the big story everyone was talking about the National Football League this week is not the Combine, which is what it would be since folks start reporting there middle of next week. What it is the Michael Sam story, the University of Missouri defensive end, the SEC co-defensive player of the year, who on Sunday announced that he was gay and is becoming the first openly gay player to enter the National Football League. By now, Jeff, Tony, everyone has heard multiple opinions, pro and con, read whether it will increase his stock or decrease his stock, whether they'll accept him in the locker room, whether it even matters. And so people who are listening now want to know from you two guys, based on your years of experience in the locker room, how you think this is going to play.
Before I give my thoughts on that, there's people who think it'll increase his draft stock. Like, someone said that?
I actually heard,
like
read someone.
Like, I'm curious. So who you have sex with is going to help you get drafted higher?
Yeah. Well, I think some people's perspective may be that, hey, look, you know, the guy showed a lot of courage, a lot of gumption to come out.
Is it going
to
help him rush the passer?
No.
Okay, then.
But you know, people have,
From a personal standpoint, right. I could see people feeling that way about it, and that, hey, the guy had courage to be able to do that, because, I mean, it did take a lot of courage, and I think that's the right word. I mean, just a lot of courage to do something like that prior to the draft, because, I mean, the easy way out would have been, look, you know, hey, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want this to hurt my draft stock, and then just wait.
I disagree. For him to come out and make that proclamation.
Took a lot of confidence, for sure.
I'm not saying that. My point is, before the draft is actually the smart thing to do, because now, a couple things. One, it's probably going to get out.
Before the draft or before the combine?
Before the combine. It's going to get out.
Because it might have been a smart thing, but I said the easy thing to do would have been to wait.
This was the easier thing. No, this is the easier thing to do, because he already made, I think, probably the hardest decision of doing it at the team level last year as a senior at Missouri. They did a great job of managing that and staying close, and it didn't get out. But there were already talk at the Senior Bowl asking the question about his sexuality. You know, the scrutiny at the combine, he was going to be asked that. The story was going to start being told. He even came out.
I don't know if they could ask that.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I was about to ask if you can ask that.
There's ways to ask it without asking.
Yeah, but you got to go back to what happened.
Jeff Ireland's not Miami anymore.
I'm just telling you right now, I read somewhere that he was asked at the Senior Bowl about – or his agent. Does he have a girlfriend? I mean, there's ways to – I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, come on, guys. The combine is the ultimate meat market in every sense of the imagination, from, you know, dressed walking around in your underwear to being probed and asked every single question, because you are a commodity.
You're turned inside out.
You're an asset. And so I think he gets in front of it. He even said it allows me to tell my story. And I think it actually controls the situation better than the whirlwind of rumor mills being out and being talked about.
Possibly.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion.
Probably right.
But as you guys know, I mean, Asera Tuaolo was here,
but
and we didn't find out
the draft stock. That's funny.
I did. I mean, everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, that one I think is. No, I don't like it.
All it takes is one person to decide that courage is a leadership quality that they love, and they might put a higher grade on
people. I just want to know if he can rush the passer. That's exactly right.
And what you're saying is the way that you'd like to be able to evaluate Michael Sam, plain and simple. So the question
is, good? I mean,
is that how he'll be evaluated?
Before he came out and said he was gay, he was a third to fifth round draft pick projected. That's what
Mel Kiper said.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's a third to fifth rounder, like what's your favorite player at Indy? Robert Mathis.
Robert Mathis was a fifth rounder.
Yeah,
if he's that kind, pick. Then I draft him. If he's a guy who's going to be out of the league, no thanks. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you asked the question, you know, what would I have a, or you alluded to, would I have a problem playing with a gay?
No, I didn't ask whether you'd have a problem.
Or what I thought.
Well, I just want to know how
my
you
opinion.
Think that, is the locker room in the National Football League fundamentally the same place it's always been, and will there be an issue?
No, it's changed. The NFL has changed. It started to change. It's always evolving, but Jonathan Martin changed it forever at one level because things that were acceptable and things that we all did and enjoyed and laughed about now is going to be brought under scrutiny because
well, it changed long before that.
No, but I'm just saying, but that brought
that,
light
that brought
onto
more
it.
Change.
That brought light onto it. That really changed it. And now you're going to have sensitivity training and everything else at the league level. And now with a openly gay individual coming in, the rules are going to change again, which means I want to be careful I say this because I'll just say it. My question is this. In the locker room, I was a heterosexual married man. I got made fun about everything about me. There's nothing sacred. Nothing except the only thing that was sacred at all were your kids. Your wife wasn't sacred. What you did wasn't
sacred. Yeah, but there was a way to do it.
But you made fun of it. I mean, listen, you got made fun of. I got made fun of. If you had any body, like, even close deformity, how you looked, go ask, you know, the Yurkos or the Hoor. I mean, anything. What you did on the field, what you didn't do on the field, your toughness, whether you showered or not, whether you were shy going in the shower or not, whether you maybe looked, your eye level was too low in the showers. I mean, you got made fun of. And guess what? Everyone got made fun of. Nothing was sacred. I got called a Bible thumper all the time. Now, wait a second. My religious freedoms are being threatened and challenged. Not once did it go through my mind to think, how dare you? I'm calling human resources. You call me a Bible thumper. That's
right.
My God-given right to be any type of religion I like. I mean, that's mean. That's mean-spirited. Are you kidding me? And so I asked the question. I asked my buddy, what happens when everyone's getting made fun of for whatever bent or thing they have about him, and somebody makes fun of Michael Sam because he's a homosexual? Now, in the locker room that I was in,
I don't know if that's a proper term anymore.
Homosexual?
Yeah.
That's not proper?
Gay.
Well, what's the difference?
I'm just saying.
Well, if I've offended anyone, I'm sorry. I don't know the proper. I can't keep up with the political correctness of this world anymore.
So don't.
So the gay individual, whatever the proper term is, I'm not trying to be mean.
But I'm bringing up a point there.
That's my point, Jeff.
You've got to learn where can you go and where can't you go. Because the locker room is different.
The locker room I lived in, you got made for everything. So my question is, what is his response going to be if somebody makes fun of this is who he is proclaimed? Because guess what? Every lifestyle that is a part of this great country of ours always says what? I want to be treated equally. I want to be treated like everybody else. Be careful. You come into the locker room, you might not want to be treated like everybody else.
You know, you might have to have a lot of courage to make fun of that kid when he walks into a room. I mean, everybody's going to have to be on edge around that.
That's my problem. If you want to be treated like everybody else, and you're saying this is a place of inclusion, hey, come on in, my friend.
Be equally offended.
Be included, because it's still my religious. That's my whole point. I have no problem with it. I enjoyed the locker room. I enjoyed being made fun of. I enjoyed giving it back. There was a closeness. There was a camaraderie. You didn't take yourself too serious. Nowhere else in this world could you do that. And now, is that going to change?
Do you think the act of openly admitting that he is gay puts him on the outside no matter what?
No.
Because it makes him take... No. Not because he's gay, but because he takes himself very seriously, right?
Well, I mean, but you could be if you are overly serious about anything.
Pretty serious about this.
But you know what? In the locker room, though, you always kind of got a sense for some guys that you could
just
rib.
Leave her alone,
I mean, Tony was an easy target. You know, some guys are. You know that they can take it,
and you give it back.
And so you know.
But did you leave alone the guys that you didn't?
And some guys you knew that were
Francis from
sensitive for whatever reason that you just backed off of them.
Right.
But, and let me go back. I mean, the locker room has changed many times over the years. I mean, allowing female reporters in the locker room certainly changed things with the incident that happened up in New England.
Right. Yeah, but I'll say
the incident down there in Miami.
Wait a second.
No, the locker room has changed.
But guys are almost more flamboyant because, like, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to walk around naked because I'm going to see if I can make you uncomfortable.
But the locker room has changed.
It
has become more of a business type of room, more than it used to be. No doubt. No question. And
it wasn't very businesslike when we were in.
It was more so than when I first came in the league, I can tell you that.
Okay. I was – so from 95 to whatever, 2002 or 3, whenever I was done, it was fun. I loved the locker room.
But, you know, how he's going to be received in the locker room, the most important question is going to be how good of a player is he going to be?
At the end of the day, it's all that matters.
You know, and I kind of was pondering this, and I started thinking of – a friend of mine, and I'll let him introduce himself.
My name is Roy D. Mercer.
Roy D. Mercer.
Wow.
And Roy has a great saying, and I think you can kind of just change it up a little bit for how well Michael Sam will be received in the locker room. And his saying is,
how big an old boy are you?
Well, in this case, it would be, how good of a player are you? And if Michael Sam is a good football player and he can help a football team win, I don't care what kind of person he is. Or what background he comes from, he's going to be accepted in that locker room if they believe he's going to help them win.
Well, the only thing is, and I agree with Jeff on that, listen, when you're good.
There were a couple players that we had in the locker room that we had
just about to go there.
Suspicions.
Now we're
gay here in Jacksonville.
Some of them got made fun of, too.
Well, and they did, and they gave it right back at you, and it was okay. Esser Tuolo, who ended up coming out later
after
on.
After he was done. Right.
He was here, and many people thought that he was. Well, it ended up turning out after the fact we found out that he was.
Right.
There's another player, and I won't say the name because I don't think anybody really knows exactly what his sexual orientation is, but we thought that he might be gay. But he was a decent player, and he helped us win. You know, so it was okay. But we didn't dwell on it. We didn't walk around and say, you know, say anything and point at him and make –
And I think it's
snickery comments.
I think it's important, and this will be a great test, because if we're really going to talk about tolerance and inclusion and allowing Michael Sam, which he has the right, he should be welcomed. If he's a good football player and he can help,
if he belongs there,
then he should be there. He should play. He should have every right as anyone else. But you also have to give the room, as long as it's done respectful for guys to disagree with his lifestyle, because if we're going to be inclusive and everything around it, then we have to be. I mean, you have to allow that. As long as it's done respectfully, you can't be hateful. And
his quarterback at Missouri, did you see James Franklin's comments?
I did not.
His quarterback said, I don't accept his lifestyle. My religious beliefs don't coincide with that. But I supported him. I supported him as a teammate and as a guy. But
absolutely.
I didn't accept it, I supported
him. That's maturity. But I just want to make sure.
In other words, I didn't go take shots at him. I didn't make it an issue.
No, you shouldn't do that.
But I didn't accept it, put my arm around him and say, I agree with you.
And that's okay. And that's I just want to make sure as we have this, we want this tolerant.
You got to be tolerant.
You're not very tolerant, though.
I am tolerant. Oh, gosh. Listen, of the teammates, I'll just go back to when we played. I had a lot of teammates that I consider good friends and close friends, and I disagreed with some of the lifestyle choices they made. But listen, guess what? I liked them. I have good friends now that I disagree with some of the lifestyle changes. I mean, lifestyles they have. That doesn't affect how I treat them or respect them and the fact that we can be friends. And there are some of the guys – and now this is might be – it's what it's going to confirm what Jeff said. In football, in the locker room, the reason you were you kind of overlook things sometimes is because they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't – I mean, they're helping you. And I say this, I tell people all the time, guess what? At football, when we're in that locker room, we're there to do a job. And if you can help us do that job and you are a part of the team,
let's rock.
Then let's go. If you're gay, let's go. If you're heterosexual, let's go. Whatever that is. But I want to make sure we all, I mean, that there's also this, listen, that doesn't mean, because there's people who disagreed with me in the locker room, with my religious beliefs. They thought, I disagree.
Well, you're getting
you're
a number of players who are starting to say that.
Listen, that's okay. That does, and what's happened in our society in a grander sense is the civil dialogue and the civil disagreement of respectfully living together, even though we don't agree on everything, is slowly going away, and that's the danger. I actually think the locker room, now you're going to have some knuckleheads, but I think the locker room will allow that more than other places. The biggest issue I think that could be disruptive to the team is the fact if Michael Sam makes this a becomes
a, becomes a campaign
and an activist.
Yes,
and this becomes about everything but football.
Right.
Then, as a football player, and I said all the time, and this is about Tim Tebow. I don't. He's a distraction for your football team. Now, he was a distraction for another reason, and if Michael Sam becomes a distraction, I hope we distinguish between this has nothing to do with the fact that he's gay. It has everything to do with the fact that it's a distraction that he is cultivating. I don't know if he'll do that or not.
All right, this portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Fanatics.com. We're overdue for a break. We'll take it now and continue here on Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, you can take pictures and get autographs with Jaguars players, Jackson DeVille and The Roar, a week from Saturday. That's the 22nd of February at the newest Xfinity stores. Meet Geno Hayes at the Pablo Creek store from 11 to 1 at 13740 Beach Boulevard. Geno Hayes, Pablo Creek, 1370 Beach Boulevard. 13740. Boy, this is a long address. Then meet Cam Bradfield at the South Ortega store from 1 to 3 at 6331 Roosevelt Boulevard. Visit myxfinitystore.com.
Last week, Loggy didn't have any problem reading that at all.
It was fine last week.
Here, read this, Loggy.
You did a good job. xfinitystores.com.
Yep, go online and find where they are. How's that? All right, anything more that you want to add to this? Are we done with it?
I just think, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting, but, I mean, he is a good football player. I don't know if he's a great football player, but was he a defensive player?
He had 11 and a half sacks. Yeah, I think he was a co-defensive player of the year.
I mean, that's impressive.
Undersized guy, though.
He's an undersized guy that supposedly struggled a little bit at the Senior Bowl, but you wonder, was all of that decision kind of on his mind while he was at Senior Bowl? Did that impact him there?
The reason he struggled,
possibly could have.
The reason he struggled is because he was a defensive end at Missouri, and I believe because of his size, they had him playing 4-3 outside linebacker, and he was not very natural in dropping into coverage. With that said, he had a sack on Saturday, whatever the Senior Bowl day game
Saturday.
Is. On Saturday. So practice, they said, the report I read, he didn't look great dropping coverage, very clunky, not real smooth, but got in the game, put his hand on the ground.
Hey, look, if I got a guy who's going to get 11 and a half sacks his senior year in college, the last place I'm going to have him at is at linebacker and dropping into coverage.
Here's one thought. You know, he's speaking at the Combine. I'm not sure whether it's, you know, next Wednesday or Thursday. It's Saturday. Pardon me, JP? A week from, so the 22nd.
Like a press, like not giving me a speech.
Oh, no. Like open, right. And he's let it be known. He'll answer any and all questions. So obviously there'll be a great deal of scrutiny, I would think, on him, you know, when he's running, when he's lifting, when he's doing the three cone drill, when it's all on the NFL Network.
Well, I mean, he was going to be a 3rd to 5th round draft pick, right? I mean, 3rd to 5th round draft pick. And if this announcement wasn't made, nobody would really know.
And so listen,
he's putting the pressure more on his shoulders.
I disagree.
You think so?
I'm going back to, I believe, listen, let's just take the overall awareness in marketing and exposure and what this could lead to. No one
knew. I'm not talking about marketing exposure. I'm just talking about once he got to the combine, he would not be as recognizable.
No, I'm talking about making this decision. I'm not saying this is the sole reason he did it, but everyone says, well, I can't believe he did it before the combine. Well, if you're looking at it and you're going to make this announcement, and I was advising him, this might be the best time to do it. Because at the end of the day, just like every football player, you are a business entity. And you can make money on the field, but if there is opportunities to leverage your persona, who you are and what you believe in, whatever it is, in this case, it's being gay, then this is the time to do it because you are going to be center stage.
And he's not doing this to leverage marketing.
I'm not saying it's the main reason, but as you talk, he talked to advisors. I promise you. He talked to agents.
If that was his reason, though, he's made a mistake.
Oh, I disagree.
And the reason I say that is that he has come out and he's already said that, look, I'm not doing this to promote a cause or anything, just to get it out front and put it out there. I mean, he kind of explained that he's not on a political campaign with it.
So, like you said earlier, don't be an activist.
But if he is doing that to be able to get marketing or anything else, then I think there will be some people that have some questions about, you know, well, what was the true purpose of this? I mean, was it to be a campaign? I'm just saying is that, you know, the more he tries to be in the limelight without just simply answering questions that are asked of him, then I think the more questions that may pop up into personnel and teams' minds about what kind of player would he be in the locker room.
Well, I disagree because, listen, those questions are coming up no matter what, whenever he said.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the questions coming up. I'm just talking about what their thoughts are of what kind of a person he's going to be in the locker room.
No, that's what those thoughts are coming up whenever he came out, because that is a – listen, in this country, Jason Collins came out of the closet in the NBA a little over a year ago maybe.
Yeah.
Now Michael Sam. Two major sports, one at the end of his career, one at the beginning of his career. The president of the United States called Jason Collins. Michelle Obama is, these individuals are treated with a hero mentality of huge proportions. I mean, those are big, big, so I say that because if I'm a GM and I saw what Tim Tebow's distraction did to a number of teams and the problem was in the locker room, now I'm going to draft Michael Sam, who at this point is a third to fifth round draft pick. That's where he's valued. I have to. It has nothing to do with how I feel about his sexuality. I have to make a decision as a leader of the franchise. What will this do to my locker room, even if he tries?
So you don't think that negatively impacts his draft status?
I think it could.
And so it would have been smarter not to say
it. No, but it was going to come out. There's no way in the process, the way the NFL digs and stuff and it goes, there's no way if he told 100 guys on a football team that it was not coming out before the draft. No way. Know how. So he had to get in front of it.
All right. Don't start the music yet. If Loggy did this perfectly, then I want a shot to do it perfectly. Right? Take pictures and get autographs with Jaguars players, Jackson DeVille, and The Roar, Saturday, February 22nd at the newest Xfinity stores. Folks, you can go to the Pablo Creek store and meet Geno Hayes from 11 to 1. That's 13740 Beach Boulevard. Then you can go meet Cam Bradfield at the South Ortega store from 1 to 3. That's at 6331 Roosevelt Boulevard. Visit MyXfinityStore.com for more details and other upcoming events. We have a standard on the show. I got to meet it. All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We're back in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Brian Sexton with you alongside Joe Fortunato, taking your calls, 355-NFL1 on the Metro PCS calling lines. We've got to talk a little bit about what's going on in Cleveland, but before we do, just a quick shout-out. New coaches as Gus Bradley rounds out his staff. New linebackers coach is Robert Saleh. His assistant is Scotty Hazleton. They've got a brand-new trainer in here, an athletic trainer, to replace Mike Ryan, who'd been here since the beginning, Scotty Truluck, and a defensive quality control, Dan Shamish.
So a lot of Scotties. Two Scotties.
I think the linebacker hire is a good one. And the reason I say that is that Robert Saleh, I guess is how you pronounce it. It's S-A-L-E-H.
Right, Saleh.
From talking to Gus, he said that Robert absolutely knows the system inside and out. He said just as good as anyone.
Where was he last year?
Seattle. Because Seattle had, I think, Ken Norton, and then
Saleh was either like the assistant.
He was like the assistant linebackers coach or whatever. But he said he knows the system hands down. He said it's going to be good for this football team. Because they don't have to teach him the system because he knows it. And then also you get another positional coach out of that as well. I mean, with the assistant linebackers coach, you're going to have two additional coaches now to coach a linebacking core that's probably going to see some change.
All right. So the Jags finished their staff. Now, on to Cleveland, where it's been the Jags have been sort of the butt of jokes around the NFL the last couple of years because of what their record has been and changing coaches a couple of times, and people wanted to point to this franchise, but never has the Jaguars franchise been in the sort of state of just absolute disrepair that the Cleveland Browns found themselves in the last couple of weeks.
What a mess.
I mean, it seemed like a mess, and Mike Pettine's a guy that you went to college with, were roommates with, but it seemed like a mess during their coaching search that they identified a number of the top name candidates, and none of them landed there. You kind of got the sense that they're in 407 days, they're on their third head coach, they are on their third general manager, and they have replaced now two front office. Mike Holmgren was the president. Joe Banner had the title of CEO. Boy, what a shuffle Jimmy Haslam, the new owner, pulled this week.
I got a feeling that the entire coaching search really kind of sat wrong with Mr. Haslam. Because, I mean, it really kind of became a circus. You know, who are they interviewing? Who doesn't want to go there? And I think that he saw exactly how Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner were handling that and probably sat back and watched and goes, what am I doing with this circus, you know, running the ship here? I mean, everybody's kind of laughing at us. And I think that he probably got a little bit PO'd with that whole process. And at the end of the day, he saw that there was a candidate that many people viewed within his organization that many people wanted, and that was Ray Farmer. And he said, you know what, we just need to go ahead and just make this a clean start. Now, the one thing that I do hope is that I hope that Mike Pettine is on firm footing, even though that Ray Farmer was promoted after he was hired. Because I like Mike Pettine. He was, like you said, my old college roommate. He's a good football coach, and he is through and through a football coach without a doubt. And I hope that those two can coexist together, and I hope that the ownership in Cleveland now will take more of a Pittsburgh Steelers-like approach to their organization.
Three coaches in more than 40 years, right. Yeah. And Haslam was a minority owner.
But I've said this before, though. I mean,
Pittsburgh group.
If you know that what you've got is not working, why sit back and just keep it going just because we made a change last year? If you know it ain't right, change it. You know, I go to Eddie DeBartolo in San Francisco. He was making change after change after change, but once he found his coach, he stuck with him. They won a lot of Super Bowls.
I think the thing that made the Browns look so bad was Rob Chudzinski's fired as he gets off the bus. You know, I mean,
what's wrong with that? We do that at USC. It worked just fine.
Well,
actually, we waited. We don't even let him get on the bus.
No, you got him in the airplane.
Yeah, we get him on the runway.
Arizona. Well, but I mean, there's a certain George Steinbrenner sort of approach to that.
But that's 26 titles the Yankees have.
But he didn't own them for all of them.
With Lane Kiffin,
for a lot of them.
I can understand it coming off the bus because Lane's a little different now.
No, but my point is
some people deserve the respect. I don't know if Lane Kiffin had ever deserved respect anywhere that he's been.
Can I say something? I mean, my goodness, we act like these Rob Chudzinski, I'm sorry he got fired. It's terrible for him. He got $10 million. Fire me. Roll me out in a wheelbarrow
for
$10 million. I mean.
I'm not saying it was terrible he's fired. I'm saying it
really
seemed like a knee-jerk reaction.
No, it wasn't.
And all that does is fuel the fire for a Browns organization they came back in 1999 have stumbled and bumbled through since 99.
What's the old saying? You know, if you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks and, you know.
No, but it's
my point
it's
is
true.
This. I want to talk to the people within the organization because guess what? People from the outside thought Shad Khan didn't know what he was doing. He hires Malarkey.
I think he made the right
move.
Don't get me wrong.
Gives an extension to Gene Smith, fires him immediately. Overturns the entire thing.
It worked.
Now, all of us in here knew that was the right move. And Shad, we would say, and we're closest, is a visionary. He has conviction. He knows what he wants. He's going in the right direction because we're in it. I don't live in Cleveland, thankfully. I don't want to live in Cleveland, by the way.
I think everyone who's listening hears that.
I don't think anyone does, except for those in Cleveland. God bless you.
Well, you've never been a Mike Lombardi fan anyway.
Well, we had our run-ins.
Yeah, you ripped them
radio show. You weren't very nice either, by the way.
Well, no, I think I was just pointing out some facts.
I think the point of the matter
is. My whole point is I want to know what's going on in the organization. Maybe Jimmy Haslam got it right.
I'm sure.
Maybe he saw him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff.
Maybe I'm sure the time came.
Rob Chudzinski is not the guy.
I'm sure
Mike Lombardi, go back to TV.
I'm sure he
and
understood.
Joe Banner, you're responsible for this whole thing. You're all gone.
We're saying the same thing a couple of different ways, right? Yep. But we're saying the same thing a couple of different ways. That coaching search thing finally made Jimmy Haslam look and go,
I agree.
Holy cow. The Browns, if you don't know their history, one of the proudest franchises in professional football history, right? I mean, you're talking about greatness all the way back to 1950 when Otto Graham came in.
My only point is,
but they have not looked good in a long time.
I agree with that. My only point is, I get mad about when people from the outside make comments about this organization because they don't know. I would say this organization is in as good a place as it's been
today
for a long time. I mean.
But how about November of 2011?
But that's my point. But Shad Khan saw that and made the changes.
Right.
And so Jimmy Haslam.
To make
them. The sense I get is he was sitting back letting Joe Banner run this thing, and he finally, whether it was the picking of the coaches or whatever, said, enough's enough. I'm inserting myself in here, and this is what is going to happen.
But kind of surprising.
I mean, the guy is dang successful. What he did. I mean,
flying J truck stops.
He built it up. Him and his father from nothing. So
well, I don't know if you want to talk about him building that up. I mean, he just built a lot of customers out of a lot of money recently.
No, come on.
To bring that up. But I think the thing that still kind of may sit wrong with a lot of people in Cleveland is that the fashion that this all kind of happened.
Well, I listen.
If you're gonna make the change, you know, make the change and do it. But he, you know, he lets them hire a coach, okay, and then after he hires the coach, then he gets rid of what was Banner's title?
CEO,
CEO, president, CEO. Whatever it is.
Holmgren had the
boss.
Title of
so
president.
CEO yeah. Boss and the general manager. Then go after that. I mean, it's just it was still kind of odd, even though hey, look, if you feel that it's wrong, then step in and make the corrections that you wanted to do. But from appearance sake, it still is kind of odd.
Well, he said that as much as a week. He didn't like the public relations hit that the franchise took over the last since they fired Chudzinski.
Well, and here's the thing. Listen, a lot of times the way you know we think the script should be written, it's done differently. And a lot of successful people and companies and individuals do things that are unorthodox, but that gets them where they need to be and they're successful. Listening to some national shows, I mean, a lot of the Cleveland people are happy because they didn't like Joe Banner and Lombardi in the direction it was going. So they're like, finally, let's clean house and start over. Now, I'm with Jeff. The only guy I feel sorry for, not feel sorry for, would be worried about is Pettine because you want him to have a fair shot. And sometimes when you're someone, a new GM comes in and you're not their guy, they don't get that fair shot.
No, you want to make sure those two work together.
And I hope he gets a fair shot. Outside of that, listen, I'm sure, I don't know Chudzinski. I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't feel sorry for him, not for a second. I feel bad that he got fired. I feel sorry for the assistants who moved their entire families.
For one year
and have to do it. I feel sorry for Chudzinski's wife and kids who had to move for 1 year. But listen.
He's getting paid.
He'll be fine. He's going to get another job. He's a good coordinator. And he'll probably get another head coaching job because he'll look at it and say he didn't get a fair shot with after only 1 year. And so I just like, I always worry, not worry, but keep in perspective what we feel bad for.
All right, we need a break. Folks, we've got much more to come here on Jaguars Thursday. And nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you need. Stop by Gate today. One more segment when we return on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, our broadcast is brought to you this evening by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Combine next Wednesday, I think, is when the media stuff gets rolling. I think players start working on the field Saturday, a week from Saturday, the 22nd, and it goes through Tuesday, the 25th. Of course, all of it will be highly watched on the NFL Network.
Will you watch it?
No.
Will you watch it?
Some of it. Yeah, some of it.
I'll watch the coverage that JP and John will do for Jaguars.com.
Well, obviously. I won't watch it live. I watch that 24/7. I mean, I got JP on a continual loop on my computer. So
that's a little frightening.
I watch that all the time. Joe, will you watch the combine? Can you talk into the microphone? That's what those are for.
Will you?
No. I might try to catch Jadeveon Clowney just because I'm interested in watching.
Yeah, but see, you can all watch all that stuff on the highlights.
Okay, then no.
You watch the Sports Center show that they have on the NFL Network.
I won't watch. I won't watch one second of it.
But I follow. I use Twitter like you do.
I'll go Twitter
and I'll follow Gil Brandt and all those guys that are in there, and they will tweet, and JP will too.
I follow JP.
So as soon as he runs, I'll know what he ran.
Yeah,
I don't need to see him run to hear whether he runs 4.5 or not.
I don't really have any desire.
But, you know, the ratings are off the charts.
Oh, I know. No, don't make
people love it.
One thing I've learned is do not make decisions if you are a network executive based on what I watch on TV because there will be very little on TV.
What they need to do, though, is somehow find a way to pipe in some sound at the combine because it's so sterile when you watch it on the NFL Network.
Maybe some rock music.
I mean, if Gus Bradley were running the NFL Combine, can you imagine that?
The music there.
I mean, the music would be going, and tempo would be up, and energy would be high.
Well, you think after all the accolades that Bradley and his staff got for the way they were in the Senior Bowl practices.
I don't think they're going to ask him to run the Combine.
It's funny,
though.
But
they might take a couple of notes from it.
That so many people have become fans of the Combine to watch 40 times and to see people throw, the quarterbacks throw, and everybody move. The number one thing that executives want the Combine for is medical. I mean, they want to be able
to.
And it's medical, though. Medical's number one.
Absolutely.
They put their human bodies
through every test imaginable.
It was
medical history.
Was,
they do x-rays. Awful. The team doctors push and pull on every joint that's
hurt.
Ever been hurt.
Hurt
and
so
every
bad.
Joint that has not been hurt.
And that hurt too.
What hurt? I mean, did the knee that you had already injured, did that hurt?
No, I was sore after the medical
exam. Everywhere. Yeah. Not just in the places that had been hurt before.
Everywhere.
I don't know if it's changed or not, but before
sure,
they had like six stations.
Yeah, I'm like, can't one doctor do this? Why do I have to go like 15 of you? I mean, listen, this guy already yanked on my shoulder 50 times.
Yeah, like four or five doctors from each team at one station, and you had to go to the next station, the next station, the next station. And, you know, they're checking your shoulder rotation and the range of motion that you have. Checking your spine, checking your knee bend. I mean, they check everything.
It's like, how's your elbow? It was fine before I came here. Now I'm on IR.
And then the most embarrassing thing of all is the video and still picture shot.
I was very comfortable with that.
Of you standing in your underwear at that time.
I thought I looked good.
No, you didn't.
Well, I
think they give you the real tight Under Armour stuff, which, by the way, the Under Armour stuff for a lot of guys doesn't do them any good.
Didn't help that much.
Doesn't help them at all.
I was impressed.
Didn't help you at all.
I was impressed.
Under Armour?
I was nude. No, Under Armour
oh,
was,
my God.
Under Armour did not exist.
Hold on.
I was nude. I opted for the nude option. I thought I just checked the box and said, I'll go nude.
Yeah, how big an old boy are you?
That was the first question I got, Joe.
Oh, I'm okay.
Was that a problem? You didn't go nude, Jeff? I thought everyone went naked.
No, I did not.
I walked out and said, this is who I am, and here we go.
No, you didn't.
And you were still taking number two overall.
Well, some people think that's why.
Your stock would have fallen big time.
We're reaching the end of this show, thankfully. It really is getting a little bit tense in here. You know, the one thing that...
That makes you uncomfortable.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Sort of. The reason that I probably won't pay that much attention to it is because I may see Johnny Manziel throw a beautiful strike down the field.
And he's not going to throw,
okay,
by the way.
All right, I know.
Pick someone else.
Okay. Manziel was the one I was going to pick. But
Blake
Bortles.
Oh, he's not going to throw either.
He says he's going to throw.
Oh, he's really
going to throw.
He's going to throw.
He's my favorite quarterback now.
Okay. So I may see him throw a pass, and I may say, hey, that's a great pass. But Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and Jed Fish may be there and go, yeah, that's not our guy. You don't know what these guys think. So you can build up in your mind, that guy ran fast. He pushed a lot of weight. He looked good in his underwear. And these guys may say, he didn't push all that much weight. He didn't run as fast as we thought he would. And he doesn't look that good in his underwear. He's off our list.
I know
what they're thinking.
I hope they don't take someone off the list because they look bad in underwear. I don't think that has anything to do with football.
Well, then why do it? Why do they have him stand there for the still shots then if they're not looking at body type?
I proved that theory.
But you know what, though? There are scouts out there that will look at a body and go, you know, he's just not quite heavy enough, you know, from the waist down to play guard.
I mean, they take that photo.
Yeah.
Right. What was the guard for Atlanta that worked? Jamie Dukes. Have you ever seen Jamie Dukes in person?
I don't know.
He is enormous behind.
He had
the biggest rear end
ever played.
He's a perfect guard
league.
Because he's low to the ground and you
butt.
Can't move.
Let's
him.
Just call
huge
what it
butt.
Is. Big
butt.
Not from behind. I mean, he's a big butt.
All right, I'm trying to be sensitive in this sensitive world.
You're not allowed
today.
To say butt anymore. I mean, butt.
Can you say booger on the air now?
Can you say butt?
Well, how are you spelling it?
B-U-T-T. Two butts. Like
yeah, you can say that.
Your buttocks.
Well, that's it. That's about it. Jamie looked like he had two. And for a guard, that's perfect.
That's good.
Yeah,
right?
You would think, right?
You'd see a great big body like that. You'd say no one's going to move him out of the hole.
You know what they say when they looked at his rear end? Road grader.
Exactly.
He's a road grader.
Huge. So there's got to be a reason why they take those photos.
Seriously, there are scouts out there that would look at a body and go, that right there is a guard, or that right there is a tackle.
I'm with you, man. I'm moving on. I'm ready to go.
Well, that is perfect timing because we're done. The show's over, folks. We'll talk to you next week from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Maybe JP will even join us on the show next week. Tell us what you think.
I hope so. Get some professionalism on the show.
Good night, everybody.